Roundtable. I'm Clark Wolf, and this is the weekly radio show about all things food, brought to you from Sonoma County. Not just wine country, but farm country, which is why we have such good restaurants. It's restaurant country. Chefs come from all over the world, and they want to cook here. They want to live here. Sometimes they come and start farming here. Then they end up cooking and baking and serving and playing and having a family and a life. This conversation predicted exactly what was going to happen, and it's news. Back in the studio is Sean McKay. He, with Melissa Yank, his partner and wife, have two of my favorite places, two of the most popular places in Healdsburg, Quail and Condor, the bakery, newly located 100 yards away, we'll talk about that, and Troubadour. A wonderful spot that is kind of magical with its own dimensions and its own challenges. There's a lot going on in the world of restaurants these days, and so what a perfect time to talk about them with a good chef who cares about it all. Welcome, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
So remind everybody how Quail and Condor happened and how long it's been. It's been a minute, huh?
Time moves fast. It's crazy. So we began as a farmer's market stand. So baking bread out of our house. At one point, there was a full-sized croissant sheeter on our dining table.
Of course.
It folded up, so you could still eat on the ends.
All right.
That got a little too big for its britches. And then we moved into this small little quaint little shop in Healdsburg. And
wait a second, by the side of the road.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
No, I mean roadside, definitely.
It was deeply roadside, and I always thought of it as very French, very Parisian, because minimalist and chic inside and all kinds of old stuff all around it. Is that fair?
I mean, minimalist because we had nothing.
Well, I know, but sometimes the mother of invention comes to cook.
I mean, exactly. I'll welcome her in anytime.
But,
we were at that location for just over 5 years. And every Saturday, the line got a little bigger. And somewhere in there, that like accolades started to happen. So, even more. And then we've relocated Quail now about 200 yards away.
Oh, it's 200. All right. Well, and in that time, I think it's important to mention because, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today, you were named in the New York Times. I think this is very interesting about the numbers. You were named as one of the 22 best bakeries in America. Kind of a random. I never liked the top 10 thing, but 22 seems a little random. What was the impact of that story?
So that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And that really took it from not necessarily a struggle, but every week was a new week, to that was the moment that it like turned on.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome and I'm thankful for it. And honestly, the writer was just living in Windsor and really loved us.
Well, that's the way you want that kind of recognition to be, right? I mean, in the biz, it's called either earned or push or pull. In other words, push is when you advertise and promote, and pull is when, or it comes to you because you're just doing a good job. You've got the pull. So this happened, but again, let's take another step back. Both you and Melissa came to Sonoma County for other reasons. You came, why, and when?
Well, so I've lived here 12, 13 years, which once again, time really gets away from me.
Yeah.
Northern California, basically with the, I kind of through friends of friends was introduced to Single Thread, and that wasn't even a restaurant yet. It was just a twinkle.
It was a farm and a plan by a couple who had been here on their way to their honeymoon or from their wedding 30 years before, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I flew out here, met Kyle. He pointed at some like fallow land and I signed on. I was like, yeah, let's do this.
I think it was the sunshine and the, right? There was something in the air.
Honestly, walking that fallow land, I remember pulling a bay laurel leaf just off of the tree.
Yeah.
And kind of rubbing it in my fingers.
Yeah.
And specifically that smell has stuck with me ever since. Of like, the oils were stuck on me. I couldn't even get it off.
Yeah.
And unfamiliar to me, I was originally from Colorado. And that was like the first smell of magic.
It's a wonderful memory and it's a wonderful image on a completely visceral level.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, folks, if you're not sure, it's Kyle and Katina Connaughton from Single Thread, the farm, the hotel, the restaurant. It's been named one of the top restaurants in the world over and over again, and it continues to be. And that's not a simple thing. So you came and you fell in love with the residue on your hand.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly.
Right. And you signed on to the farm to begin with, right?
Well, so the restaurant was always in the works.
Yeah.
It's just, if you're going to farm things for a restaurant, or if you, well, let's say, if you're going to want farmed things from a restaurant, you better start early.
Yeah.
So I was out there like with a shovel and a sunburn. And that was the summer leading up. And we were, a very small team of us were kind of collecting the vegetables and produce, bringing it in. And then we would have these small dinners to help define what the restaurant was going to be. And, you know, at the same time, we're picking up investors and just building community through that. But, you know, that was the beginning times. And I stayed around another 5 years after that. So it was about...
Wow. So you gave it a decade and you started in the dirt.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
You're my kind of chef. No, seriously. I mean, but this is important for people to know that I just saw a wonderful documentary that I hope you'll watch about Raoul's in New York City. And you think this legendary restaurant is something that arrived on the half shell. You know, it was built right there. But it's three generations before. These things take time when they last. They're built on strong foundation. And I think that's what you're talking about, whether you mean to or not. You spent a decade with this very special place before you began to do that first next thing that was for you. If you just joined us, it's Sean McKay. He's from Quail and Condor and Troubadour. And you ended up being the sous chef of that magical, famous first course that comes out on driftwood with lichen and 11 different bowls. Am I doing that right?
Yeah, I mean, that was our very California take on a very classic Japanese kind of mindset.
Yeah.
And it really, it's kind of the same. It was this organic growth where we didn't know exactly what we were doing. And there's pictures of like the first ones we made, and right. they're so far behind of what it, and like it's grown even now that I'm removed. So it's crazy that it's so organic and so fun.
And it is something where I remember a couple of the tastes. I'm not encyclopedic in that way. I don't try to hold on to that stuff unless it sticks, right? I remember the first the meal I had from Joel Robuchon at Jamin in Paris. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be showing off, but it kind of life-changing, and the person I was with got weepy. I mean, I went there because we wanted to share what it was that compelled me in the work that I was doing, and my friend just looked at me and said, "I understand." Because this food was so amazing. And I remember a few of the bites of food from that dinner that I had at Single Thread some years ago. Very, very vividly. The little tiny broccoli, the creamy tofu, the things that I was just not going to the grocery store to get on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and then you met your future wife.
So we go back a little bit more than that. But so I was at Single Thread. And we'd met originally in Colorado. I kind of come to California. She goes to New York. At some point, we declare our love for each other. And then we plant roots in Northern California.
The visual is very strong.
Yeah.
I see. And you know what? If anybody could do it, Melissa could. Melissa Yank is your wife and partner and a really, really gifted baker and hilarious goofball.
She's the best all around.
I mean, this one of the things I really love is that you do things, and I want to make this point over and over again. You're dead serious about what you do, but you don't take yourselves too seriously.
Thank you. That's a great compliment. Thank you.
Well, I mean it. I think that it's so important to care about things and have a light heart. And when you're doing something as important and fundamental as food and as ethereal and ephemeral as some of the things that you do, you know, you have to have all sides about that, right? The discipline, the structure, and also, again, a sense of humor. So you guys got together, and she was working. She ended up as the pastry chef at Single Thread, right?
She was a hotel baker.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, so we had a pastry chef for the restaurant.
Right.
And then hotel was getting busier and busier. And she's more of like a boulangerie kind of baker. And we really lacked that expertise. So she came on baked for those five rooms each morning. And like there was other stuff involved, but
yeah. Well, that would explain why the stuff that she does, that Quelle and Condor does, is like being at the best boulangerie in the side street in a wonderful French town.
Yeah. I mean, that's our goal is really like just to make people smile.
Well, all right. And so to that end, your new location, I mean, the old place, because it was minimal and truly in France, they don't redo everything the way Americans gut and rebuild and redesign. In France, they've cleaned it up a little bit, and minimal is because they're, you know, frugal, is that the word I'm looking for here? Yeah, there you go. But you've now moved to a much larger location, which is quite wonderful. But there are skateboards on the wall. I mean, let's just be honest. It's a very California wonderful, but still open and airy and light and minimal. What is it, other than a longer line that gets to stay indoors in bad weather, which we appreciate. Well, you know what? I'm going to stop us here. When we come back, I really do want to talk about Troubadour, where the name comes from and how you do something that's very common in European countries, particularly Western European countries, where there's a transformation between day and night, and not that common here, but may solve a very important problem. We'll be right back here at the table. And I'm here with Sean McKay. He is with Melissa Yank, his wife and partner, the owner and proprietor of what must be an exhausting couple of businesses, but very rigorous and very enlightening and very upspiriting. I mean, there's just so much life in what you do in Quelle and Condor and in Troubadour. Troubadour, most people know as a magical sandwich shop right in the main part of Healdsburg. Is that how you describe it?
Yeah, we're just off the plaza there. And yeah, we began as a sandwich shop.
But things have evolved.
Well, so over the past 5 years now, just that organic growth that we just spoke about. I've started as a sandwich shop. And honestly, I began it to try to spend some more time with the family and all of that. And I guess trying to dig into like a 9-to-5, more 9-to-5 job.
Some kind of a structure.
Yeah.
Because the food business will take every ounce and every moment in the world.
Well, so turns out I was actually pretty unhappy of just making sandwiches for, a limited hours in the day. Just wasn't like fulfilling.
Yeah.
I had this like whole heated moment and I called Melissa on the phone. It's like, wait, let's hang this whole thing up. And she talked to me like off the ledge. And we then kind of restructured and kept the sandwiches, but added a dinner program that really helped me dive back into like the fine dining chops that like I apparently had to flex.
Well, it's really important that you say that because, again, what I was saying before is that in Europe, I have a friend, she came over from London, we were in Paris, and she said, let's go to this shop and get some things to take back to the hotel and we'll sit and have a little hotel picnic. And we did. It was a traiteur, is what they call it, a little catering store. And it was delicious and it was wonderful. And she said, now, later on, let's go to this little place I know for dinner. And we went for dinner. It was the same place. They had brought out little tables and chairs, and they were little tables and chairs. And it was next to the shelf with the tomatoes in a jar and the olives and all that stuff. And the counter was covered with a lovely tapestry or something. And we had this wonderful meal in the evening, very delicious and very of the moment. I remember I had an artichoke. I mean, see, this I remember. But it was so logical, but I hadn't thought of it. And she explained to me, these people have to make a living and they have to do what they do. They, you know, all these people, you make stuff in the morning and you put it out in the case, people take it home. But those are cooks back there. They want to cook. And this is what you were experiencing.
Yeah. I mean, it's glad to know I'm not the only one in the world doing this.
You know, Sean, it's important for us to remember always that anything we think of, somebody has at least tried.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Exactly.
Right. So you decided to do this other program.
Yeah. Well, so... and over the past 4 years now, we've really began to like refine what we're doing in the evening. So You know, we began as a prefix. Now it's just a full focused tasting menu. Dove in and like even more focus on local farms and producers. And it's kind of very cool in that we get to show off awesome stuff at both times of day. So, a carrot can go lovely on a sandwich with some pesto, or we can make a whole dish around that same carrot.
You know, it's funny that you said that because I was thinking of the carrot with the whole milk ricotta on that sandwich that made me cry the first time I had it.
Exactly.
I had to bring two people to your shop and say, have that sandwich. You have to taste this. And I think what you're saying is really interesting for the times because there are a couple of people in town who have Michelin-starred backgrounds and who are running a counter shop. They're running a grab and go, a come up and order. They'll bring it to your table. Limited service restaurant cafe. Number one, because the other pressures and the other costs of that much more refined experience are just prohibitive for some people. Number two, it's not what they wanted to do. They want to make food that's very, very special, but they don't want to spend 23 hours a day with a pair of tweezers. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's just a very different experience. So it's called Troubadour all the time.
Yeah. So we go Troubadour, and that's like, I guess there's Troubadour, and then we separate a dinner by Le Dîner.
Oh, Le Dîner. Okay. Yeah. All right. I like that because that's French for Le Dîner.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Oh, that's wonderful. And how many days a week do you do it?
Dinner is 4 days a week, Thursday right. through Sunday.
Okay. Once again, folks. This is very normal in other countries. People have this idea in America that you should be able to go out 7 days a week and have a life-changing meal at a good price, and that's not true. It's just not possible. Many places are open 3, 4, 5 days a week because that's what works for them. So 4 days a week in the evening, Le Dîner, and then a sandwich shop, how many days?
That's 7 days.
See, there you go, because, you know, bread.
Exactly.
Because bread. If you've just joined us, it's Sean McKay. He's with Melissa Yank, and they have Quail and Condor, and they have Troubadour and Le Dîner. La Dîner, Le Dîner.
We'll let somebody else decide that one.
All right, Dîner. We're going to have dinner, right? And so how challenging has it been for people to embrace and understand that? I mean, has it been hard for you? Has it been hard for the customers? Or is it just a natural thing? Do the Europeans come in and go, oh, of course, and the locals say, can I have a grilled cheese?
I think, so over our four-year span, we've kind of seen an ebb and flow. But it's funny you bring up, like, outsiders pretty much get it. And whether they're from outside of the country or even just from a city where real estate is at a premium, you're trying to capitalize, make the business work for you. And we kind of finally hit this like three meal service thing where if they're from out of town, potentially we see somebody in the morning for espresso, in the afternoon for a sandwich, and then they liked those two things and booked a dinner or, vice versa.
Yep.
They visit us the next day from dinner the night before. So, It's going. I think the traction on dinner is we've become like even more special occasion, which I'm into. Like I understand the price is higher. I understand that it's even the time commitment is higher. So I think that's awesome. And sandwich can be this other little like quick piece. So the restaurant as a whole is a kind of a perfect cross section.
You're making me also think of one of my other favorite restaurants, the Inn at Little Washington. I don't know. Have you been?
I have never been, but it's such an awesome place.
Well, it's
my second cookbook.
All right. So they have this wonderful place, and the meal is epic, but it has a sense of humor, but it is definitely epic. And for a long time, people would say, can I have some in the morning? And he also has hotel rooms, and they do provide things to the hotel rooms. But not long ago, across the road of this little tiny town, Little Washington, Virginia, he opened a little cafe where you can go and have, and Thomas Keller has done this too. And Ad Hoc is very accessible, but still Thomas Keller food,
yeah.
Right? It's, and that's the deal. And folks, don't you want food at that level by some people who really know how to cook food that's also casual in the morning or the next day for lunch? By the same token, you went the other way. You added the more refined dinner after the sandwiches.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, it was, it might not be the natural progression, but for me, it was natural.
No, it was your natural progression. We're going to talk about some of the other dinners that you do around the county, around the town, because chefs travel. You guys just go everywhere. And I also want to talk a little bit more about that, that movement from prefix to a full-on tasting menu and how that works so that people understand both emotionally and economically, because telling these stories is so important. And we want to talk a little bit more about how your stories get told besides coming to talk to me. We'll be right back here at the table. Sean McGay. He is the owner with Melissa Yank, his wife and partner, Master Baker, of Quail and Condor and Troubadour. We're talking about Troubadour. We're talking about this place that has wonderful sandwiches in the daytime and a meal four nights a week that is very, very, very special. Now, you've gotten attention from a number of different places. And, you know, this is a funny time, right? There was a time when a couple of very well-regarded, powerful voices in food and restaurants wrote periodically, and that was it. Whether it be the New York Times or the San Francisco Chronicle or the LA Times. I think Ruth Reichel wrote for all of them. I don't know, I'm not sure. But also in places like Gourmet and whatnot. And GQ would write annual things and all the rest of it. Now, it's become democratized. And as a professor at NYU once said, democracy in journalism can lead to mediocrity. Everybody and their uncle, if it's on Yelp, I tend not to look at it unless I wrote it. No, that's another story. But that is an issue, because one of the things I always look to a reviewer for is ballast, right? Consistency. I may not agree with the writer at the Chronicle, but I know where she stands about this and that and the other. It's a consistent voice and viewpoint, and so I can decide what I'm going to think about that restaurant. Whereas now it's coming at you from all angles. You guys do post when you have something special. You do on Instagram, right?
Yeah, mostly Instagram.
Instagram, because it's just maybe it's your age range. Whatever your generation does, you're in Insta, right? Right. And I enjoy them, and they're informative and fun. But how do you deal with that? Because, you know, we know you directly and we say hi, and Melissa asked me to judge pies and cakes and whatnot in the farmer's market. But there doesn't seem to be a barrage of PR people running around. And that's, a mixed blessing. How do you go about telling the world what you're doing between plating?
Well, the barrage of PR people is just my wife, Melissa.
Yeah.
We talk about things, and she kind of like crafts it, and just so immensely talented also at that. And, you know, she's chatty, she's friendly, she's bubbly. So that's, it's easy for her to like, just like put that through her phone.
She's a storyteller.
Yeah.
She really enjoys doing that.
I think, we use Instagram very much as a tool, and a little bit of communication, but more it's like hanging concert flyers of kind of this is what's in town this weekend.
I like that. I like that.
And hopefully, like, our personalities shine through, and it's fun. Like, we're only cooking. No matter how serious it gets in a kitchen, like, food is fun.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
And I see her waving a baguette and you standing by the side with just a sly little smile on the side of your mouth.
Exactly.
That's who you guys are.
I mean, she brings, like, optimally we're both fun, but you know, I bring the calm and she brings the crazy.
There you go.
Don't tell her that.
No, nobody's listening. It's okay. Well, but so you've been included in good lists of local publications and national publications and international publications. How do you lean into that without lighting your hair on fire? I mean, she's, you know, you were making a croissant on the dining room table. Now that's gone, and she's got her laptop out doing Instagram at the dining room table, right? How do you share the word of your, I mean, you are in a town that people come to from all over the world, so that helps. But what's the process? What's the thinking?
Well, so accolades are, that's a tricky one. You can't just like wave the flag, but at the same time, you earned it, so you can kind of gently encourage everybody to check it out. And hopefully that's what those are, is a gentle encouragement of, if you're in the area, come on in. And for us, I guess, it's not like we printed T-shirts that are like, you know, best 22 bakeries in the country or anything like that. And it kind of hits in different waves where... and between Quail and Troubadour, it almost feels like the love gets spread out appropriately, which I think is also, you know, great. But I think really Instagram is more just focused on us and who we are and what we're doing. So some of the most liked posts are just pictures of faces smiling.
Right.
And that's because that's what people need.
Because that's what people need, and also that's the result you're looking for.
Exactly.
Right? If there were to be, there's Forbes, there's Michelin, there's San Francisco Chronicle, there's the New York Times, which is now reviewing things, restaurants all over the country. I mean, they have 4 restaurant reviewers, all women, by the way, which is really kind of cool at this point in history. Which are the ones that mean the most to you? Or have an impact. And I, while you're thinking about that, because I'm putting you on the spot there, I want to remind people that when you get good coverage in the press in any way, shape, or form, it's just an opportunity. That's what it is. There's no guarantee. It's an opportunity. And I remember the first time I was lucky enough to be involved in a high-profile, successful restaurant in New York City. We got 3 stars in the New York Times. And this woman walked in and stomped her foot. That was well shod, as they say, and said, "You call this a 3-star restaurant?" You know, it gave people the opportunity to yell at us, because any kind of an accolade may bring the other side too. So what are the ones that are really important to you guys?
Well, so just to that, at Single Thread, our adage always was accolades are a pat on the back and a punch in the stomach.
Yeah.
To where... like, it's kind of, it's a catch-22, honestly. Like, so I think, especially we're remote, we're in Healdsburg, Northern California, Sonoma County. And so, you know, I fully understand New York Times reviews, local papers, all of that. And the Times, giant for a restaurant in Manhattan.
Yeah.
In the New York area. But, here, I think, I guess for myself, Michelin is kind of, it's not king, but on higher level restaurants, that is like the authority.
You know, it's interesting because our friend Dan Kadan had a Bib Gourmand, which is my favorite of Michelin, for 9 years in a row until they left the restaurant. And you would have to get a Bib Gourmand and a star because of the way you do it. And I wish that for you. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what's happened in the last year and how you see things going forward, because things keep getting more and more interesting. We'll be right back here at the table. Sean McKay. we're talking about restaurants and also about telling the story to a broader audience and what the right way is to do that and what we can do and what we can't do. I do want to mention, many years ago, I had moved to New York City. I was working for Barbara Kafka, who was then the food editor of Vogue. And I helped her open a store called Star Spangled Foods. What a terrible name. And she painted this American food store the colors of Giverny, of Claude Monet's retreat in the countryside. It was just all wrong. Anyway, they're funny stories. But I wanted to give a party for Laura Chanel, the goat cheese lady. And she said, okay, you can do it. It was a Friday afternoon in August on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And if you know anything about that, basically we could have been alone in a city of millions, right? And the fact is that only 8 people came. But here's the thing about that. One of those people was Suzanne Hamlin. She wrote a story that was in the Daily News and then reprinted in 350 papers across the country. So that kind of sad little afternoon party that we had a good time at changed her trajectory in significant ways. So sometimes chefs like yourselves will cook for a charity, an event, another activity somewhere, basically to support other people, but also to have an opportunity to reach other people that they may not have in your base restaurant. You just did Outstanding in the Field. Tell us about that.
Well, so Outstanding in the Field is, they're their own traveling roadshow. Have this cool vintage bus. They pop up in the most unique locations. There's, you know, cliffside overlooking the Pacific. There's beneath the redwoods. We joined them at Front Porch Farms. In Healdsburg.
Yeah. Peter and Mimi's place. And yeah. We just lost Peter, a wonderful, wonderful farmer and human being who was so giving and so present and so smart. It's such an amazing farm, and it's like 160 acres, and there's water running through it. And I remember stopping, and they have the best polenta ever and an entire flower shop. So what did you guys cook and for how many?
So it was about 140 people, and the whole premise is one giant, long, romantic Northern California table.
Yeah.
However you split it, it's a big table.
Yeah.
And there's the other kind of X factor there is there's kind of no permanent structure at all. So
No. It's called Outstanding in a Field, and you're out in a field.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's be clear. How many seats approximately in single thread?
45.
And how many at Le Didé, which is Troubadour at night?
18.
Yeah. And now you're with 140 people with no kitchen.
Yeah.
So okay.
It's a bit of an accordion, you know, opening and closing.
Yeah.
But it's also super fun. I love to take the crew. I love to, like, honestly, just do something different.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing. We get to get out from under the fluorescent lights of a kitchen.
Yeah. Natural light can be very good for the cook and the spirit of the staff, right?
That's lovely, right? Somebody should say something like that.
Well, yeah, let's do that. I mean, I remember I was very fortunate to go to a dinner at Sara Lee's garden, you know, Sara Lee Kundi, the late great. And it was an Alice Waters lunch for Carlo Petrini, who also just passed, who founded Slow Food. And there was this long table, as would be, but it was a series of tables. Separate checks, I think. And all the staff was sitting kind of under a bush, you know what I mean? Under these bushes, kind of after they'd served, and they were all kind of gathering on the ground in their aprons and all the rest. I went and sat with them.
Yeah.
I mean, right? That's where you want to be, right? So what was the dinner?
I guess they're welcomed with canapes and they, you know, lovely like reception.
Yeah.
And that kind of like recharges the guests. They take a big farm tour, all over the property.
Wonderful. Oh.
And, you know, they're like plucking blackberries themselves. And
I'll bet you, you know, I remember being on that farm and Peter would say, not the first row, the third row.
Exactly.
Right. It was like, these are the best blackberries in the history. Yeah. Right.
But so, after the farm tour, they're welcomed to kind of a preset we had so many different types of breads.
Yeah.
Pretzels and fougasse and baguettes and all sorts of sourdough with dips. And I purchased basically only from Front Porch didn't have everything going on, but I basically purchased from Healdsburg.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it's like, there's, we were on a farm and there was a table there. So that's farm to table.
I mean, you can't get much closer without getting wet, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. I mean, I love that notion, and people don't seem to understand that there is really nothing like it. First, the image of getting a little cardio walk around before the meal, right? Growing up in Southern California, we would go window shopping after dinner. After we went out to dinner, window shopping is what it's called. It's when you go for a walk after a nice big meal and are unable to buy anything, which is good for us because we didn't have any money, because everything's already closed, window shopping. But here you go to the farm and you look at the most amazing food that ends up on the table. All right, we'll be right back here with just a few more moments. I'm going to ask a little bit more about what's coming up because we're going into the most hilariously wonderful season of bounty that you can imagine here in Sonoma County, and we want to know what you'll be cooking right back here at the table. Sean McKay, and we are talking about making good food and sharing it with people. You were talking about Front Porch Farm. You were talking about Quail and Condor and its new location. Plenty of skateboards on the wall and smiling faces and room to hang out and room to visit and room to park. Come on. You know, it's kind of wonderful. Tucked really kind of out of the way into town. And also Troubadour daytime and Le Diner in the same space at night. What's coming up? Well, first of all, website, Insta address, actual physical address. How do we get in touch? How do we find you?
Well, so if you find yourself interested, website is troubadourhbg.com, as in Healdsburg, HBG.
I like that.
And then quail is just quailandcondor.com.
Okay.
And those are like good landing pages.
And do they lead to each other, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank heavens. Okay.
It's a vicious circle. You can't get out. Now, you know, website great for reservations for Troubadour. And to follow us of like, you know, what's coming up, what we're doing. We mentioned Instagram earlier, but that's really where we kind of dive in on the daily.
Right.
And that is troubadour.bread.
So what is coming up? What is doing?
The season is upon us.
Yeah.
So, and that's everything of produce is going to hit hard. So already I'm calling all of my orchard friends and my farmer friends. And it's funny, they kind of go away for about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Or 3 months.
Yeah.
Rainy season, they all go skiing.
Yeah.
And then they pop back into town.
Yeah.
As far as, honestly, what we're going to dig into summer, I think, the menu at Troubadour is, it's in such a good spot right now, and it's a working document. It's always moving around, but all of this fun produce has really got it into.
When you have 18 seats, you can do that. When you are in the middle of the most wonderful farm country in the world, you can do that. And, one of the nicest things about Troubadour is that it's at that level of cooking, but with no pretense. It's a storefront. It's, you know, I mean, it's pleasant, it's lovely, but it's not about bells and whistles. And when I come to your places, I really don't feel that I'm paying for architecture. I feel like I'm paying for food and for a warm welcome and a delicious time all around. So keep doing what you do. I hope you continue to get all the accolades and a little bit of rest. And again, I always say this, when you take an hour with a chef or a farmer, you're stealing sleep. So thank you for taking the time to give us an update on what's going on with you guys. And we will see you real soon right back here at the table. Not so fast. After we recorded this, they got the Michelin star. Check it out. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone. It'd be a paradise.